This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Now, we've been going through a current study talking about the 3/16 chapters of the Bible. And you'll find a brief study of Scripture. Some of the great themes and stories of Scripture are surrounded by the 3/16 chapters. And I'll say this again because repetition is the best way for you to learn. Remember that when the Bible was translated, that chapters and verses, they are not inspired. They're added by the translator so that we can find the Word of God in a systematic way, learn chunks of Scripture. And so it just happens to be that as they divided the Word of God up, that some of these wonderful themes of the Bible and some of the great stories of the Bible are found around these 3/16 chapters. And so we're entitling it Highway 3/16, Exploring the Themes of Scripture. And this morning we're going to find ourselves in Joshua chapter number 3, and we're going to entitle this sermon, Getting Beyond My Problems. Is there anybody in here that wants to get beyond their problems? Say amen. I'm sure all of us do. All of us have problems in every single pew, every single heart. There's something going on. And so we're going to learn today from the life of Joshua how God allowed him to get beyond a great obstacle in his life. And that obstacle is going to be the River Jordan. We find ourselves in chapter number 3 and in verse number 1. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there, the Bible says, verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you, listen to this, about 2,000 cubits, around 3,000 feet, that is, about a half a mile, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto for. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm going to have you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to show you this morning through the life of Joshua how that God did a miracle and a wonder in his life to help him, listen, to help him get beyond his problem. And if it takes a miracle in your life, something supernatural to take place in your life to get you beyond the problems that you are facing, God, who is faithful, will deliver you. If you believe that, say amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. God, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that you would help us to determine in our hearts to get beyond our problems, to face our fears, Lord, the doubts that we struggle with, Lord, that we become face to face with them, and by faith believing, God, that you are a miracle-working God. Lord, that you are a God of redemption. You are the God of creation. Lord, you sustain us and you strengthen us. May we, by faith, take a step forward in faith, knowing, God, that you will remove the obstacles, Lord, if it is your will for us to be in that place that you have called us to. So lead us and guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And we will not fail, Lord, or forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all the things that's happened in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, a study of the Scripture finds that because of unbelief, Israel had wandered in the wilderness for a period of 40 years. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago while we were in Israel, we actually passed over by the Dead Sea, by Masada, and we've seen the plain from which Moses and the children of Israel, the area where they would have crossed over and they would have came over. And so for 40 years, they're out in this desert plain. And let me tell you, it is certainly a desert area. And so for 40 years, they're wandering in the wilderness, ready to cross over into what God calls the Promised Land. Now that Moses is dead, God has given them a brand new leader. His name is Joshua. And after all of these years, we find that that time of 40 years has expired, and the children of Israel, they are ready to conquer their Canaan and possess their possessions and enter into the inheritance that God has for them. Isn't it a joy that when you can conquer your personal Canaan and you can experience the blessings and the inheritance that God has for us, those spiritual blessings that God has promised each and every one of us? Well, they were entering into their inheritance, entering into their promised land. But there was one big obstacle still left. There was one final thing that they had to do in order to cross over to the other side. They had to cross over what was called the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River, I was there a few weeks ago, and as we were passing by, I was telling Darren yesterday, our bus driver said, "Don't blink. If you do, you're going to miss the Jordan River." And sure enough, we blinked, and many of them missed the Jordan River. Today, the Jordan River is very, very small. It's not very large at all. As a matter of fact, it runs all the way from the Sea of Galilee, goes all the way down through the plain of Israel, and actually empties out somewhere near the Dead Sea, feeding it with other fountainheads along the way. But it's a big body of water in Israel, but it is a small body of water. This River of Jordan would have been where the children of Israel would have crossed over here. It would have been where Jesus was baptized, in the River of Jordan by John the Baptist. So many times in the Bible, the River of Jordan is mentioned, and probably back then it was a little bigger than it is today. Over the years, the land has kind of caved in on top of the river, and it's a little smaller. The land mass has changed a little bit, and many of the resources of the Jordan River have been tapped into, flowing the water in different directions to bring water throughout Israel. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us that this was an obstacle, and we know that it was an obstacle because the Bible tells us in verse number 15 something very, very important about the Jordan River. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "And as they bare the ark, they were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped into the brim of the water." Here it is: "For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest." This is a problem for the children of Israel. They have come to the River of Jordan, but they have arrived there at harvest time. And many Bible teachers and even people who have been there in Israel will say that during harvest time, during the heavy rain season, that the Jordan River, which only spans about 100 feet wide, especially where they passed over there in Gilgal, it can grow exponentially up to about 1 mile wide. And so when Joshua and the people of Israel get there, they get to this expanse of this river. It's during harvest time, and they're looking at a 1 mile wide river. Any other time, it would have been very easy for them to cross over to the other side. But this presents an obstacle. This becomes a problem to the people of God. There is no way that they can cross over a mile wide river with 2 million people, their children, their horses, their possessions, and all that they have. It's going to be an impossibility unless something supernatural takes place in their life. Something's going to have to happen in order to move this river. Something's going to happen to transfer them from here on this side of the problem to the other side of the problem. My question to you today, this morning, is this: what is your Jordan River? What is the thing that's keeping you on this side of the river? What are you facing today that God's saying, "I want you over here," but you're still on this side of the river? You say, "Brother David, I can't cross over to the other side. I don't have the power to transport myself to the other side. I don't have the resources to get myself to the other side. I don't have the means to get myself to the other side. So I'm stuck over here. I know God wants me there, but I got this big problem in my life, and I'm just too afraid to step out into the water. I'm too afraid that I'm going to drown. I'm too afraid that I'm going to sink. I'm too afraid that I'm not going to make it." Many of you today, God is calling you into missions. God's calling you to be a preacher. God's calling you to do more and to be more. God's calling you to get involved. God's calling you to give more than you've ever given before. And yet you're on this side of the Jordan, and God says, "I want you over here." Ladies and gentlemen, my challenge to you this morning is this: what is your Jordan River? What is keeping you from the blessings of God? What is keeping you from conquering your Canaan and claiming your inheritance that God has for you? This morning, For some of you, it may be the problem in your marriage. It's keeping you on this side of the River of Jordan. Others, it may be a relationship that is hindering you and you're staying on this side of the River of Jordan. For others, it could be an addiction, some type of habit that you have formed where sin keeps popping up in your life and is keeping you on this side of the river. For others here this morning, it could be some type of unconfessed sin. It's kept you anchored to the ground. It's kept you filled with guilt and with shame, and you're on this side of the river, and you just don't know how you're going to be able to conquer this obstacle that's in front of you. I got news for you. That obstacle that you face, your River Jordan, God wants you here, but you're still there. That obstacle that you face, you've got two choices. Number one, you can allow your Jordan River to be the place of failure, or you can allow your Jordan River to be the place of faith. It's up to you. It can be that place of failure where you're over here frozen in fear. It could be that place of failure where you're afraid to launch out. You're afraid to stick your toe in the water. You're afraid to go across to the other side. And over here, you're just failing in misery. You're failing in your ministry. You're failing in your marriage. You're failing as a member here at the church. You're failing yourself, and you're failing God. And you decide, I'm going to stay over here in this place of failure because you're afraid. Or you can take your foot and make that very first step. You can put your toe in the water. Somebody say amen. You can put your toe in the water, and it becomes a place of faith where you experience something supernatural, where you just trust God, that it's God that's going to move the obstacle. So many times we are so guilty, and even myself, of trying to move the obstacles of life with my own power and my own might, by my own means and by my own agenda. God reminded me once again this week that the problems that I face and the situations that I face and the struggles that come up against me, that I believe that there's power in prayer and that God can move obstacles. I believe there's power in God and God can still prevail. Somebody say amen. I've got to trust the Lord. I've got to let this place in my life be a place of faith where I exercise my faith in the impossible. God can do the impossible. God can do the incredible. And he allows us to have faith to experience with him. How many believes that? Say amen. The problem with so many people, the reason why people don't move across their rivers of Jordan, and they sit there and they look at that struggle, they don't see it roll back in their lives, is because they hesitate at the riverbank. Many of you, that's where you're at this morning. You know that God wants you on the other side of this problem, but you're hesitating at the edge of the river. You're there at the edge of the river, and the edge of the river, for many of you, it's where you're wavering in helplessness instead of worshiping in hopefulness. It's where you are hibernating in apathy instead of consecrating your life in victory. It's a place on the edge where you're paralyzed by fear instead of experiencing prevailing faith in your life. This side of the river is a place where you're believing the lies of the devil instead of beholding the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're hesitating, camped out on this side of the river. May I remind you this morning that God specializes in removing the obstacles in our lives. If you believe that, say amen. It is one of his attributes. It is one of the things that he specializes in. God wants to take you of that obstacle and remove it in your life and allow you to become an overcomer. God is able. Somebody say amen. God is able to guard you and to guide you. God is able to shield you and to strengthen you. God is able to conquer and to comfort. He's able to provide and prevail. He is able to defend and deliver. And hallelujah, he is able to release me and rescue me by his power. Let's give him a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. It's the very reason why Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19, in his earthly ministry, he enters there into the temple with the people, surrounded by a great group, and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You read that chapter and you find a verse or two later, he says, and this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Jesus is here today to set you at liberty. Jesus is here to help you, those who have been bruised on this side of the river, those who have been wounded on this side of the river, those who are captive by their emotions and their fears on this side of the river. God says, I want to remove this obstacle. God says, I want you on the other side. But you're arguing with God, saying, God, I can't get there. And God says, I want you on the other side. What God is saying today is I need you to exercise your faith. God's not asking you to fight. God's not calling you to failure. God's not asking you to fear. God is calling you to a life of faith where you step out for the very first time in your life and you trust God to remove this obstacle to get you on the other side. If you believe it, say amen. This morning, I want to show you several steps that Joshua took. The same steps that Joshua took, it's the same ones we need to take in order to get to the other side. And it starts with number one, we need to examine a message. Joshua was called to examine a message. Look at me in verse number 9 of our text. If you're with me, say amen. If you're mopping up what I'm spilling, say amen. If you're picking up what I'm dropping, say amen. All right, here we go, verse number 9. The Bible says, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and what, church? Hear the words of the Lord your God. Can I say that every time we're in church, that is the goal of every theological, biblical church. It is to hear the words of the Lord. It is not man's conjecture. It is not man's philosophy. It is not man's opinion. It is not fancy stories about this or that. It's all about the word of the Lord. When you're facing a problem, you need a word from the Lord. When you're facing an obstacle, you need the word of God to guide you. And so the Bible says they needed to examine a message. This is not just any message. This is a message from God. When you come in here to the house of God and the man of God begins to preach, this is not just a lecture like you get in college. This is not like a message from a politician. The message from the preacher is a message from God. Somebody say amen. It's the word of the Lord. We beseech you, that is, we beg you, Paul says, on the behalf of Christ, that you would come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a message that they needed to examine. The Bible tells us in verses 3 and 4 and following, there were many things involved in the words of the Lord. Two things in particular we'll look at, well, perhaps three. First of all, there was a challenge. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. And they commanded the people and saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore, means ever before. This is the first time you have passed through this way. We're talking about the need to examine a message, and in that message of the Lord, God gives a challenge. And there are three things within that challenge that we need to note. Number one, in that challenge of God's message, he says, number one, to watch for God. The challenge to the people of Israel and the challenge to you and I this morning is this. We are to watch for God. That is, I'm to watch God moving about in my life. I'm to watch for that unseen hand that Greg talks about, that moves about in a mysterious way. How many knows God works in mysterious ways? Say amen. If I were to ask you to get up and testify and talk about what God's done in your life and in my life, without a doubt, you could say, this had to be God. There's no other explanation, but it was God. And as I was watching God, God had me to move here, or God had me go there, or God had me make this decision or that decision. He tells the children of Israel in this challenge, I want you to watch God. Now, how are they to do that? Verse number 3, we find the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned around 10 times in chapter number 3. The Ark of the Covenant was a special piece of furniture in the tabernacle that represented the power and the presence of God. It was a beautiful piece of furniture, and wherever the ark went to the people of Israel, they believed that the presence of God rested, abided, abode there upon that ark. And so wherever the ark was at, there was God. So when the ark would move in a direction, the people of God moved in that direction. When the ark was on the move, the people were on the move. When the ark stopped, the people needed to stop. They needed to watch God. As God directed the leaders, as God directed the priests, and they picked up the ark and they went on the move, the people of God were to follow hard after God. They were to watch God, and so are you. As God leads the leaders, as God leads the pastor, as God anoints the deacons, as God anoints the spiritual leadership, and through prayer and supplication unto God, asking God to give guidance and to help, as we lead the church of Jesus Christ, you are to come alongside of us, and we are to move together as God moves in our midst. Somebody say amen. We are to watch God. Moses said this to the children of Israel, long before Joshua became leader, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 7, verse 8, "But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all his commandments which I command you this day, that you be strong and go in and possess the land, whether ye go to possess it." Keep your eyes on the great acts of God. Samuel says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16, "Now therefore stand and see the great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes." God's a miracle-working God. God's a wonderful God. God loves you too much to hurt you, and he is too wise to make a mistake. When they came to the Jordan River, it was not a mistake. God wasn't up there panicking somewhere saying, "Oh no, my GPS is messed up. It's not working today, Michael." You know, and it brought us over here to the Jordan River. "Recalculate, please. We've got to get them out of there." "No," God said, "that river's no problem for me. If they'll just exercise a little faith before they even step forward, I will part the Jordan for them." God says if you'll just exercise a little faith, that obstacle that you're facing, he will move it right out of the way. But you, listen, you've got to watch God. That was the challenge. They had to watch God. Not only did they have to watch God, but they had to walk with God. Look at verse 3. "As they saw that Ark of the Covenant on the move," verse 3 says, "ye shall remove from your place and go after it." Not only were they to watch for God, but they were also to walk with God. Somebody say amen. Israel was about to follow the ark right out into a 1 mile river. You say, "Brother David, it's not going to be easy." No, it's not going to be easy for them, but it's necessary. And I want you to know that the obstacle that you face, it's not going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but it's necessary. You've got to exercise your faith. You've got to be willing to launch out and to step out and to do what God's called you to do. Following God may not be the easiest thing that you will ever do, but it is the best thing that you will ever do. Nobody ever said it was easy following God. Nobody said it was easy being a worshiper of God. It may not be the easiest thing that you'll ever do, but I want you to know, honey, it'll be the best thing that you ever do, following hard after God. Not only were they to watch God, not only the Bible says were they to walk after God, but verse 4 says they were to worship God. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, "Yet shall there be a space between you," and I like this, watch this, "yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits, that's 0.57 miles, a little over a half a mile. So here's the Levites, they got the Ark of the Covenant, and they are to walk in front of the people of Israel, and the 2 million people behind them, they're to stay all the way back here about a half a mile away. The leaders are to walk forward while the people stand back about a half mile away. The Bible says the reason why they needed to do this is because they needed to see where they were going. They've never been down this path before. They've never had faced this terrain before. So they didn't need to crowd all around so everybody could see where they were going. But most important is not only where they could see where they were going, God didn't want the people to get ahead of him. And how we are so guilty when we come against an obstacle. We say, God, if I could just do it my way. Lord, if I was in control, if I was calling the shots, if this was my plan instead of the preacher's plan, if this was my plan instead of the church's plan, if this was my plan instead of Kyle or Todd's plan, if it was my plan, everything would work out. And God says, why don't you just stay about a half a mile back and let me lead my men? Somebody say amen. Why don't you just stay back? And keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God's man. Quit trying to get ahead of God and around God and coming around God and doing it your way. You need to do it God's way because you have never crossed this path by yourself. This is new terrain and new territory. And so God has a plan. How many knows God has a plan? Somebody say amen. So listen, not only were they to worship God and they are to walk with God, but they are to watch for God. This is the challenge. And those three things, walking for God, watching for God, and worshiping God, it's only made possible through obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. As you yield yourself to God, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The only way that you can come to those three challenges, watching God, worshiping God, and walking with God, not getting ahead of God, the only way that you can do that as a believer of Jesus Christ is by putting your faith and your trust in Christ and yield yourself completely to him. They were to examine a message. And in that message, there was a challenge. Not only a challenge, but there's a command. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Now, if you're taking notes in our app, here's the words you need to fill in. To pass over Jordan, the Jordans of your life, you must prepare yourself. If you're going to pass over the problem, you're going to get to the other side, you have got to prepare yourself. So listen, God tells the people, he says, not only do I want you to watch God, walk with God, and worship him, this is the challenge, but here's a command. You have got to sanctify yourself. Over and over again, this is the command of the people of God. Exodus 15, verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. Where? Right here in my heart. I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, I will exalt him. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange god at Ashtaroth that are among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. I would say this morning, as Samuel said, if you prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you. Somebody shout amen with me this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. Psalms 10, verse 17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Amos, in that wonderful verse of chapter 4, verse 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to encounter God? I'm not just talking about preparing in death. I'm talking about preparing in life. Are you prepared to meet God, to experience God and God's power and God's might in your life? This obstacle that you're facing, this dilemma that's hindering you, that's keeping you on the other side, you've got to prepare your heart. You've got to get your mind, your body, your soul ready. You've got to sanctify yourself and prepare yourself to experience what God has for you. The Bible says not only was there this command, but also there was a commitment, verse 9 to verse number 11. Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither, and the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. They're preparing to experience God. The Bible says, and that he will, without fail, drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, a lot of ites, somebody say amen. Amorites, Jebusites, all these ites, huh? Ringoites, Fort Oglethorpeites, Chickamaugaites, all those Chattanoogaites, you know, all these ites that we face in our life, right? All these problem people. How many knows there's problem people in the world? How many knows there's even problem people in the church? And so all of these ites that we have to face, you know, all of these struggles that we have to go up against, God says, don't worry about it, because without fail, I will remove them right out of your way. The Bible says, Joshua, these people get this commandment, they got this commitment, verse number 11, they're on the move. What's happening in verses 9 to verse 11? It's basically God's promise to them. He's telling them he will bring them through in a powerful fashion. They're going to see something amazing. They're going to see something incredible. Just like God was with Moses at the Red Sea, God is with Joshua. And God's getting ready to do something amazing in their life. He's telling them, you need, listen, you need to examine God's message. There is a challenge, there is a command, and there is a commitment that God wants us to keep in that message. Second of all, here's my second point, and you'll be encouraged. It's just 2 points this morning. Someone say amen. Here's the second point. We need to expect a miracle. Not only do we examine a message, but you need to expect a miracle. Now, I believe today that God still works in miracles. I don't believe that he does it through the means of people like Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and some of these charismatics that are out there promoting a false teaching, a false message of hope. A false message of faith. I don't believe that they're doing the right thing. I believe in many ways that they are deceivers and not deliverers. I don't believe that God can deliver through the power of a man. God delivers through the power of God. And when God comes on the scene, it's immediate. It's not something they got to pray for days. It's not something you got to linger on and take your medicine for 2 more weeks and to be healed. No. When God heals, it's immediate. When Lazarus raised from the dead, he didn't come out half dead. He came out a whole Lazarus. Somebody say amen. He came out alive and well, and it's immediate. I believe in miracles. I do believe that God can and will perform certain things in the lives of individuals as God's people begin to pray. So I don't want you to walk away saying, I'm over here on the other side. How am I going to get through this obstacle? I need a miracle for this to happen. Well, just hang on. You need to expect a miracle. If God wants you on the other side, understand where I'm at now. The obstacle was here. God placed the obstacle in front of them. He wants them here. He knows that they're there. He's telling them, get to the other side. God, how can we? We got this obstacle in our way. God says, hold on, I want you to expect a miracle when you exercise your faith. If you believe that, say amen. Look at me in verse 14 and verse 17. They come to this, they got to expect this miracle. Why? Because there's a problem. Verse number 15. The Bible says that Jordan swells all the time during harvest. As I said earlier in the sermon, you're looking at a 1 mile wide river. You've got 2 million people to cross. They couldn't build a bridge. There's not enough time, nor is there enough material. They don't have any boats or vessels to go to the other side. There was only one way around the problem, and that was through it. Today, I'm telling you, there's only one way around your problem. You've got to face it head on and go through it. God never called you to be a coward. God never called you to back down. God never called you to run and retreat. God called you to move forward. You're not going to swim under it. You're not going to jump over it. You can't run around it. The only way for you to face that problem, you've got to walk smack dab in the middle of it and trust God all the way. There are so many people in life, they're so passive.
that they're afraid to face a problem. They're afraid that trouble's going to come. They're afraid of consequences. They're afraid of this and that. But honey, I'm here to tell you, when it's right, it's right. When it's wrong, it's wrong. And if God says, I want you on the other side, then you've got to walk through that water. You've got to get to the other side. You've got to trust God that God's going to do a miracle, that God's going to have his way, that God's going to guard you and guide you, that God's going to preserve and prevail, that God's going to sustain and strengthen you, that God is going to get you to the other side. Somebody say amen. You've got to walk through it in order for God to get you to the other side. So they got this problem that they're facing. So when there is a problem, hallelujah, there's always a solution. God was there. God has a plan. Look at me in verse number 13. The Bible says in verse number 13, here's the plan. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord, the presence of God, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up upon a heap. And it shall come to pass, when the people remove from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark, the covenant before the people, and they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflows his banks all the time, that the waters which were down from above stood up, rose up, all the way, the Bible says, to the city of Adam, many, many distances away. The water rose up, and it was so vast and so wide that it goes all the way miles away, all the way to the city of Adam. God was clearing a path. Someone say amen. And what God's going to do for you is there, when there's a problem, there is always a plan. But there was one catch. Look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord, verse 13, the Lord of the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan. Meaning, as soon, listen, as soon as there is the first step of faith, God is going to rest on the obstacle and move it out of the way. God wasn't going to move the obstacle, then they walk. God said, you've got to take the very first step. Then I will do my best work in your life. Some of you are wavering on this side of the river, and you want God. You're saying, it's easier for God to divide the water before I get my feet wet. It's easier for God to do what he's going to do first. Then I can see it. Then I can believe it. So God, you move first, and then I'll move next. God says, no, that's not the way it works. As soon as the brim of his foot touches the water, makes the first step, God says, I will move the water for you. I want you to know today, God wants you to step out in faith. God wants you to step out in faith. Quit waiting on God to do it for you. Quit waiting for somebody else to do it for you. God says, exercise faith. And when you exercise faith, you shall experience God. The Bible tells us here that in this miracle, there was a problem and there was a plan. And after the plan was executed, hey, there was a parade. Somebody say amen. And all the people marched over on dry land, crossing that wonderful Jordan. Listen to me this morning. We need to remember that faith honors God and God honors faith. Faith honors God and God honors your faith. I'm going to ask you this morning, what obstacle do you need to get beyond? A relational problem, family problem, finances, unconfessed sin? What is your Jordan? What is keeping you from experiencing the blessings of God? You know in your heart right now, you've got something in mind. You're like, oh man, He's reading my email. Somebody has called the preacher this week. He's preaching right to me. No, it's not the preacher reading your email. It's God working through the preacher saying, I love you. God loves you today. He wants to do something significant in your life. Step out. Somebody asked me this week, Preacher, what's the significance in altar calls? It's Brother Chris, we were talking yesterday in our discipleship. You know, we're talking about altar calls, and we got into this big discussion, historical discussion about altar calls. I said, Chris, an altar call is a way for a person to respond to the gospel. And today, this is your first step into the water. That'd be a good analogy for us. Your first step is here at the altar. Your obstacle begins to remove when you take that first step of faith and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, use me. If you believe that, say amen. I want you to bow your heads, and Casey or Tony, one of you guys, come to the piano, and we'll sing a song together. And I'm sure this morning, I know within my spirit, there are needs in this building. There are people that are facing obstacles, and before they even begin to sing, before the first note is even played, I want you to come forward this morning and take that step of faith. I want you to begin calling upon God. I want you to, if you need to grab your wife, grab your wife. If you need to bring your family, bring your family. Whatever you need to do, you need to bring, listen, you need to bring that obstacle to the Lord. You need to bring it to Him today. God, help me to get to the other side. Whatever God is doing in your life, however God is working, I want you to come, and I want you to come now. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, bless this time of invitation. May the Holy Spirit of God do His perfect work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.